This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time now for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer. Matt, it's good to have you back.
Hi, Hal. Almost at Christmas, another week to go.
And difficult news to start with this week, Matt. Earlier in the week, the government changed the role of Minister for Disabled People when the previous minister, Tom Persclough, was made Minister for Legal Migration. Mims Davis has now taken on the role, but she'll remain a Parliamentary Undersecretary of State rather than becoming a Minister of State, which has left many calling this a downgrade of the post. How has RNIB responded to this news, Matt?
Well, I mean, similarly, we feel pretty forlorn and pretty let down. We put out, you know, part of a response to this from the Disability Charity Consortium group, and we're putting out something today, more specifically from the VI sector, with our good friends at Guide Dogs and Thomas Pocklington Trust. And the message is the same. You know, there are 16 million people with disability in the UK, and not to have someone who's, you know, at a sort of Minister of State role, championing that, working on that, you know, having that as a sort of complete day job, you know, seems an incredible portrayal of 16 million people. And I know the government has got other, you know, concerns at the moment. You know, it always would have. And that doesn't mean that, you know, it's a zero sum game, that you sort of put more attention over here and the thing you dial back is the focus on sort of people of disability. So, you know, the optics of this, and the practicalities of having a minister now at a more junior level with a broader portfolio, must mean it's less focus, less time spent on it, less attention in government. And it's a, you know, I use the word betrayal. I think it's an incredible sellout, a betrayal of, you know, what are 16 million people? As someone said, you know, and I come from a family with proud sort of military service, but yeah, there's a Minister for Veterans and there's, I think, 1.85 million veterans, and we've got about 10 times as many people with disability in the UK, and there's no minister. So interesting sort of choices being made. I can see Mims Davis, who I don't really know at all, has come out, you know, making lots of positive noises about her own sort of think family background and experience, and her interest and commitment to the role. And, you know, I'm sure she will be as diligent a minister as she can be, but, you know, she is doing it from a more junior position and with other responsibilities. So I feel very let down, pretty forlorn about it. Doesn't mean to say, you know, we're going to take our bat home. We will do what we can to engage with the minister. You know, one of the slight frustrations in this announcement is that we have been building some good relations with the previous incumbent when there was a minister, Tom Persglove. He visited our office in London a couple of months ago, and they overstayed his welcome by being genuinely very, very enthused and engaged with a lot of the accessibility features in Grimaldi in London, and also a lot of the services that we have, you know, housed there as well. And I think he showed a real interest, and we've actually had some traction through him with his department on things like training civil servants on access to work. And so, you know, nothing is ever perfect, but, you know, we had a good relationship and there was some strong signs of life, you know, through the minister who was the previous incumbent. So not only have we lost the role, we've also lost someone who the RNIB had a good relationship with. So, yeah, disappointed, would, to put it mildly, Hal.
And we're looking north of the border now to Scotland, where the recent pavement parking ban has now been put into place.
Yeah, we know from our beneficiaries, one of the big challenges in navigating your way around, you know, society is obstacles, on what should be, you know, pavements, what should be there for people to walk safely through. And whether that's A-boards, outside shops, e-scooters, e-bikes, you know, there's a number of obstacles that society can casually put in the way of blind and partially sighted people, you know, getting around. And one of those things is clearly people parking on pavements, which in many parts of the UK is just accepted practice because the roads are too small, the cars are too big. You know, there's no yellow lines and people park on pavements. And, you know, clearly if you're a blind and partially sighted person trying to navigate your way along a pavement, that's an enormous obstacle. And in many cases on small roads, you know, the car is parked to completely obstruct the pavement. And there's no way around safely, even if you could get round, because there's no pavement left and you're thrust into the road or thrust to have to sort of cross the road dangerously at a place where there's no, you know, potential pedestrian crossing. So the good news in Scotland, and we're sort of delighted, is after years of campaigning by ours and by people like Guide Dogs in Scotland and other Scottish charities, Scotland has initiated a pavement parking ban finally this week, 3 days ago, I think. So, you know, that is now in place. And you know, the other good news is it's not as if maybe Scotland might be the only place in the UK where this is implemented. The Welsh government are looking into it. They announced a few years ago, although, you know, they have stalled a little bit on their consultation, but it's certainly on the radar down in the Senedd, and we will continue with our team in Wales to work on that. And, you know, we are also lobbying and have been lobbying Transport Ministry on this in England and therefore in sort of in the UK in general on this topic. But, you know, we're delighted that we've actually got a start on this in the UK. And I think Scotland will be really important to learn lessons, and critically change drivers' behaviour about where to park, and just not only, you know, free up the pavements a bit more, but in doing so, and this is, I think, a critical point, also makes society have to think a bit more about what it means to be blind and partially sighted, and actually, you know, hopefully take that thinking into other parts of their life as opposed to just where they happen to leave their cars. The fine is £100 if you get done for pavement parking in Scotland, so it's a pretty weighty deterrent, you know, particularly when money's tight, when the economy's not performing as well as it might. And so, you know, I think we'll see people changing their behaviours. I think we'll see a number of people who will get caught once and won't want to do it again for risking getting another £100 fine. So great to have it done this week. Let's see what happens, and good to talk about it in the new year, probably a few months down the line when we've got some tangible lessons from Scotland, I think.
And as you mentioned, Matt, it's only a few days to go until Christmas, and RNIB's social media team have been getting in on the festive action with their 12 days of Christmas countdown.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our social media team are going great guns at the moment. I think they do some really good work. And, you know, one of the things that we've been pushing, I think, pretty hard and quite wittily, imaginatively, but quite forthrightly over the last few months has been hauling people up for when they don't put, you know, use accessible, you know, approaches, accessible formats, language, use of emojis, alt text, et cetera, on their social media. And I think we've called out a number of individuals. We called out the DWP this week on their announcement about what was happening to the Minister of Disability because they didn't make it accessible, which was an enormous own goal. But on a more positive sense, a more sort of lighthearted sense, I think what is been really good this week, and I'd encourage your listeners to go and look on a variety of social media channels. I'm looking at Twitter at the moment as I speak to you, is we've done a sort of 12 days of Christmas. And actually what we've been doing is moving through the gears, you know, talking about or giving tips on how to, you know, make your social media work and activity, you know, much more accessible or as accessible as possible. You know, so for example, on the first day of Christmas, RNIB said to me, only use one emoji. And we explained why only using one emoji is a good thing. And on the second day of Christmas, for example, RNIB said to me, avoid fancy fonts, because those are difficult sometimes for screen readers to pick up. So we're trying to make people use sort of more mainstream accessible fonts. So this is all a bit lighthearted, you know, and it's great, and actually allows us to use our new Sonic logo, which again, I'd encourage people to listen to. But within all the lighthearted message and the anticipation of Christmas, there's a serious message here around people really being reminded to, you know, use their, really make their social media use as accessible as possible. So I'd encourage your listeners to go and engage with it, Howell. It's quite a nice thing to look at pre-Christmas.
Well, of course, along with the information from RNIB's social media channels, the helpline is still available for any questions you might have about RNIB services or information. You can call 0303 123 9999. Matt Stringer, Chief Executive of RNIB, thanks again for your time this week. Always great to catch up. And thanks for speaking to us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No problem. My pleasure, Hal. Have a nice weekend and look forward to speaking to Connect Radio next week. OK, bye-bye.